got an extremely familiar story today. So don't curl up and go to sleep. I've probably preached on this story, oh my, over the years, 30, 40 times probably. Probably two or three times since we opened here. And this story is often referred to because I think it has a lot of principles in it that apply to our situation and what many of us face. A powerful, powerful story with life-changing principles within it. It's found in Acts 16, and it's verses 16 through 40. If you're familiar with this story, you can glean some things this morning I think that'll be helpful. Actually, last Sunday when I made some comments between songs regarding praising God and thanking Him despite circumstances, God spoke to me from this. And I fussed with it a little bit at first, wanted to, of course, make sure that it was the Lord's voice, but I fussed a little bit about it. I thought we use that story a lot. But I felt confirmed that this was of God this morning. And so we'll see where we go here. I'm not sure what all I'm going to say about it. I do have some things to put on the wall. So I'm going to read Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 16, and see what way we go here on the story. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, this is Acts 16:16. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. The King James Version, I'm reading from the NLT, the King James Version says a spirit of divination. Interesting that the root word of divination is divine. This is a spirit that appeared divine. Are you listening? Somebody had a spirit that appeared divine. It appeared it was God's spirit, but it wasn't. Boy, I could exit and stay on the exit the rest of the time with this subject. If we ever lived in days that are perilous on spirits, it's today. We're in the season of the return of Christ. And there are spirits at work. A few weeks ago, I spoke on the unleashing of spirits. I'm trying very hard to get across that we are in a new season. The revival era has passed. Yes, I believe there'll be a revival and a turning to God during the tribulation hour. It says there'll be a multitude that can't be numbered saved. But the revival era has passed. Billy Graham has passed away. David Wilkerson has passed away. My daddy was a traveling evangelist. Daddy used to preach, and the Spirit of God flowed so freely, and the spirit of the devil was so suppressed, that before he would get into four or five lines of his message, people would already be coming to the altar to be saved. There was movings of God like that. But there are seasons. Do you remember in the Old Testament reading where it said there was a famine for the Word of God? Do you remember reading that? There are seasons of time. And I don't feel like a lot of churches today are in touch with the fact that we've changed seasons. We are in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, perilous times will come. And here is a girl following Paul and Silas and the group with them. No doubt Luke was in that group because he said we were going. And Luke, we believe, is through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is who penned the book of Acts. We were going, and a girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. King James Version says a spirit of divination. Beware of spirits. Stay in the protection of a body of believers and keep your personal devotional life strong. Oh, people say, well, I don't need to assemble together. I don't need the church. I can be a Christian without that. There were no steeples in the Garden of Eden. There were no church buildings in the Garden of Eden, and Adam walked with God. I understand that. But the Bible says when you see the day approaching, Fail not to assemble yourselves together, all the more as you see the day approaching. Isn't that interesting? That when the day is approaching of Jesus coming back and we're in the last days and the perilous times, what does he say? Get together more often. You need the safety and security and protection that comes from assembled believers. Are you with me? You need that. Doesn't have to be in this building, doesn't have to be in a church style structure, but it needs to be where the Word of God is flowing freely and there is our personal devotional life and the assembling together, which brings protection in a time when spirits are on the prowl. We are in the age, the time, the season just prior to the coming of Christ. I believe we are very near to the 7-year tribulation period, and I believe that literally, I'm not saying in a swearing sense, that all hell is going to break loose during the tribulation hour. If you can't see that coming, you got blinders on. If you can't see that coming with what's happening in our world today, and globally things are in place, the signs of Jesus coming, globally things are in place, the nations are even lining up. It's all fit scripture. There is going to be an invasion of Israel from the northern countries. Globally things are lining up. Economically, socially things, we're moving toward a one world system. Anybody? Man, you have to see that. All will take a mark. And you can't buy or sell unless you take the mark. And a cashless society, and the Antichrist will come to power, but he will appear as the Messiah, and they will wonder after him. A day of deception. I just feel like I need to stay on this just a little bit. Paul and Silas, and those with him, they're going down to a place of prayer. Let's read 3 or 4 verses, and I'm going to talk about the spirit of divination a little bit. They were going down to a place of prayer, and they met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her master by telling fortunes. She followed Paul. Now, look how subtle this is, Vince. She followed Paul and the rest of them, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God." She's saying all the right things, boys and girls. She's saying all the right things. This isn't somebody with the spirit of divination and they're cursing him and spitting on him, which we've had happen on the streets of Chicago. You know you're in an area where there's demonic forces when no one has an idea who you are. And the minute they see you, they go, "Egh," and they clear their throat and spit at you and follow you and begin to chant at you. And you know, I must bring a presence. And there's a side of that that's encouraging. I've seen some incredible things, how the enemy works. She's hollering out to Paul, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come and told you the way to be saved." This is subtle. Why, I think we'd have probably got together and suggest that we put this gal on staff. You think? Come on. Come on, be drawn in on this. Go ahead and go there. She could tell the future. She could tell the future. The Bible speaks of a gift of prophecy, doesn't it? This is powerful. She could tell the future, and she's crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got exasperated with it, and he turned and said to the demon within her. Oh, this thrills me to say this. Our theology has to be right here. Because what have I been warning you about? The power of deception in the last days. This man of God had the discernment to know that was the devil. How could he have done that? Except that it be by the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? This girl could tell the future, and she's shouting, "These men are from God, and they will show you how to be saved." Why, we'd have got together and had a meeting and said, "Let's put her on staff. Let's put her on staff. I bet she's a prophetess. Let's put her on staff." Paul had the discernment. I hunger that. Anybody else? I want that kind of keenness. He had the discernment to know that that was not the Spirit of God. This was someone trying to draw attention to themselves. In fact, they were being motivated by, they were working for somebody and making money by telling fortunes. It wasn't through a pure gift of prophecy where God reveals something. There is a gift of prophecy. There is a gift where God will tell you, someone to tell you something, and it is to warn you and to prepare you, but it's not with selfish motive. It's not tainted with greed. It's not. And he had the discernment without knowing all the background, I'm sure. He had the discernment. He said to the demon, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her," and instantly it left her. I have written in the Bible there, that's amazing that this man of God had the keenness, even though she was praising them and saying, "You can be saved." Now, Matthew 24 says, in the last days, there'll be many false prophets come. We got guys packing out churches today, this morning, across America. They're not telling the whole gospel. They're tickling people's ears, and they're telling, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and unto fables. And we got people that are down on coming to church, and they don't need the church, because I got this TV minister that he just pumps me up, and when I'm done, am I motivated? Paul had the discernment to know that this girl had a demon in her. I want that. I want the discernment to know when something's the devil. And boy, you're not very popular when you call it. We recently had an incident in the last few months, last couple of years, that I had to call something. And I was forced to do it. I would never without call. And I had to call it and say, "This is the devil. This is wrong. This is the devil." And I still believe it is. The devil saw what we were trying to do and what we were about here. And in subtle ways, he'll come in and try to tear that down. He's out to kill and destroy. We hung two posters up before we ever opened this building. We were in here fixing the leaks and cleaning, and it smelled and was junky in here. And we were in here working. And thank you to the people that helped us do that. I'll always be indebted to you, and you know who you are. But God told me to hang those two posters. One of them's in the foyer, and the other one's in my office. And they say the same thing. They say, "I don't want to live in a community and just hear the sound of a church bell. I want to snatch somebody just before they go to hell." And when you hang out a beacon and say that that's what you're about, you got a bullseye on your back. I want to have the kind of discernment as your pastor. That's why I need your prayers. That's why when you text me and tell me, "I'm praying for you all day today," I'm grateful. I text my brother-in-law Dave this morning and I said, "I need clarity on the message this morning. Pray for me." He said, "We'll do it. Done." Why do I need that? Because these are perilous days. And if you're just soaking in front of the TV all the time and just kind of riding it out, you're going to get sucked into the deception. Do you hear me? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand when the evil day comes, Ephesians chapter 6. Who knows what we're going to face in this next year? You have never seen mudslinging in America like you're going to see in the next election. You'll never see anything like it again. Viciousness has taken over. There's a spirit involved in things, the spirit of the age, the spirit of Antichrist. What is the spirit of Antichrist? "I am God." The Antichrist will enter the temple in the middle of the tribulation and declare he's God. It says before to him there'll come a spirit of Antichrist. "I am God. I can decide if I want to be a boy or girl. I'm God. I can decide what I'll do and what I won't do, and nobody should tell me. I am God." Spirit of Antichrist. It's exactly what it is. The spirit of Antichrist. I want to have the keenness to know how glorified something looks. I want to have the keenness. Paul said there's a demon within her. "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly, it left her. Her master, hopes of wealth, were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews. And they shouted to the city officials, "They're teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." All right. I want to say a few things about spirit of divination. And this is going to be a sensitive topic. I believe and have come to the conclusion. A lot of this is from observation. A lot of it is from personal hands-on experience in dealing with the enemy. And I'll choose my words carefully here. But I'll say it with authority. from the Lord. I've come to the conclusion from Scripture. I've come to the conclusion from my personal experience that there are three things involved when you get totally grasped by the enemy. First is demon possession. Sensitive topic. The man who was scraping himself with stones and crying out was demon possessed. Demon possession, I think this needs clarified. Demon possession is when there's control of the will. You've given over your will to the devil. Demon possession, control of the will. The devil's actually motivating you. He cannot take you over. That has to be a situation where you have submitted your will to him. Demon possession. Then, and this will get close to home with our congregation, I believe there's another category. So first, let's make that crystal clear. Demon possession is when the will is surrendered. The enemy is invited in. It's a decision of the will. He can't bust in and take you over on your own. And a person becomes actually demon possessed. But I think what often is the case in our generation, and is hard at times to identify, and often is medicated, not always, notice that, not always, but often is medicated, is what I call demonic attachment or oppression. That is where you have not got involved in witchcraft or something and submitted your will to the enemy. But due to things you have been involved in and places you've let yourself be, a demon recognized your curiosity and attached to you. That's why we tell you to be careful. Don't be going back to the places you used to go where those forces were. You reopen those doors, it won't be long, they're all busted open. Anybody been there? Yeah. Won't be long, they're all busted open. Demonic attachment or oppression. That is where the devil doesn't actually live within you. You're not demon-possessed. But there is an attachment. There's an oppression at times. That's how it will manifest itself. It can be you're oppressed, depressed, you're in despair. There's an attachment, and that's a little bit complicated in that that can come from lots of sources, as I said. It can be from environments you came from. But you've flirted. You've not opened your will to the devil and given yourself over. But you flirted with him way too much. You with me? And so there is an attachment there. And you come to Christ, but you sense. And the power of Christ overpowers the enemy. But you sense at times when you get in the flesh. This is sensitive stuff. But we either talk about it or we don't. And we can't get up here and talk about the last days and spirits and discerning and then never talk about any of this. Understand? That doesn't equip anybody. And I've had people come to me in tears and say, do you believe I'm saved? I said, I know you're saved. I was there when you were saved. Do you believe my sins are forgiven? Absolutely. If I had your funeral this afternoon, I'd preach you in heaven. But I got this something that gets a hold of me. If I start to go astray, it just seems like I can't stop. And it just sucks me in. Okay. There's attachment going on here. There's things. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It's like it just keeps pulling me in. Okay, you have some responsibility too. You've got to separate yourself from the things that do that. Are you listening? Don't just keep coming to the altar about it. If your hand caused you to stumble, do what? Grow another one? Cut it off. So you got to say, you know what? I think there's something going on here. I have been involved in that kind of stuff in the past. And when I get in that area, it seems like afterwards I've disappointed myself. It seems like afterwards I got sucked into that. It seems like afterwards I'm pulled into that. And we can meet and pray with you if that is the case. This is so sensitive that some guys won't address it. But we can't go into the tribulation period unprepared. And I feel like in my autumn season, God said, you're going to have to ride alone, son. That's part of what that picture means, Vince. That picture of me and Cody's dead now. But I was riding away alone. I kept saying, why am I riding alone? He said, because you're going to have some issues that you're going to get so lonely because everybody's going to think you're crazy and you're a radical, but you need to go ahead and say them. So if you notice me a little bolder lately, that's what that's about. And if I need to ride alone, then I'll ride alone. We'll see it in time. I don't mean that to sound smart, but I'm either called or I'm not. And if I'm not, you need to get somebody to it. Because this is too serious. If I'm not, you need to get somebody to it. All right. Pastor, I it isn't just temptation. It's like I get sucked into it. It's like it takes me over. Okay, whoa, what do you mean it takes you over? What do you mean by that? Okay. The death on the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ pushes off the enemy. But you got to make the decision. I want him out of here. You can't spend your life flirting with him. And then pray for me, 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 so I can get by this. Pam and I look at each other and say, we're happy to pray for you, but you've got to cut some things off and say, you know what? I'm not going to that area anymore where that spirit dwells. I'm not going to flirt with that any longer. I'm not putting up with that. I'm going to tell you what, when I had my bonfire outside the house, we burned it all up. We burned it all up. I had a big bonfire out in front of the mobile home where I lived when I came to Christ, and he re-emphasized my call to ministry. I had a fire, and I'm telling you, everything went in the fire. Jim Morrison went in the fire, and on it went, and on it went, and on it went, and on it went, and I ain't flirted with him since. Some of you need to have a fire, and you ain't going to have victory until you do, so quit asking me to pray for you. Probably going to get fired. Quit asking me to pray for you if you're not going to cut it off. We love to pray for you. You get what I'm saying? If you're not going to make the decisions and do what you need to do. All right. Demon attachment or oppression. And then I've got a homemade title of my own here. I call it demonic pursuit. It's a little more than temptation. Let me explain it. It's a little more than temptation. But it's, listen, this will make all kinds of sense. It's a little more than temptation, but it's not an attachment. Okay? Often this is the case if you have generations of sin in an area. All right, stay with me. Don't leave in this. Let me tell a story about a relative. And this will be clear as crystal. I have a distant relative that I knew something about their side of the family. Distant relative. There were some hideous things went on for generations in this family. It was hideous. Hideous. I saw this young woman going wayward in her Christian walk and beginning to open some doors. And I said to Pam, no matter what I have to do, my schedule, I've got to meet with her and warn her because there is a spirit pursuing her because of the generations of this in her family. And I met with her and I said, young lady, I'm going to talk straight to you. I know some things that have happened in past generations in your family and some of the ugliness that has gone on and devilishness in your family. And because of that, the enemy wants to pursue you. And if you start opening these doors that I've been hearing the rumors about that you're opening, girlie, you're going to go over the falls. She started to cry. She said, I already have. I already have. There can be a situation where it's not an oppression or an attachment, but because of generations of sin. Because of generations of sin in an area, the devil has his eye on you. This is why we made such a fuss after Mark Hardinger shared his testimony and said he was out to break generational curses in his family. He was the first one to change the trend of morality in the family. And so he took a beating for doing it because the devil knew he'd had all those generations. And here's somebody that says, we ain't doing this no more. The hold the devil had on me in Jesus' name, he ain't got no more. And when you break that, if you're the first one in line, you're going to take a beating. You're going to get abandoned. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get misunderstood. You're going to get kicked to the curb. But I'm telling you, a strand of three cords is not easily broken. And if you can get three generations going, I got it. I got it. Goldie Robbins, my grandmother, broke that. She said, I'm going to church. Grandpa was a desperate alcoholic. Addictions run the Robbins family. That's why we stay so far away from him. We tend to be that way. Dad, Grandpa wouldn't give her money, and she would walk 3 and 4 miles, sometimes as much as 7, 8 miles, to tent revivals in Fort Wayne in the cold to get to service. And Daddy said she took me by the ear because I was the only one she could control. The other brothers were all wild and hellions. And so she said, he said she grabbed me by the ear and said, boy, you're going with me to church. And they got to church. Well, I don't make my kids go to church. They don't want to come. Did you hear me? I don't make my kids come to church. They don't want to come. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. If you said that at my house to my mom, oh, you'd go to every service from then on. They had it every night, Patty. Daddy said, Mama took me by the ear and twisted it and said, you're going to church with me, boy. You ain't going to grow up like the rest of these boys. What was that doing? That's saying the hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. Now, she took him to church and he heard a service and he was broken and he went to the altar and he cried and prayed and he became a Christian. Goldie broke that generation, Goldie Robbins. Daddy was second. Paul and Jim and I are all three ministers. Jimmy's with the Lord. Paul's still living. We're all three ministers. Cord of three strands is not easily broken. If you're the first one in line, then you're breaking that generation. You've got some tough things to deal with. Do you follow me on demonic pursuit? Are you getting it, what I'm saying? I met with this young woman, and I said, I know the history of your family. I know what goes on in your family. I know things that have happened in your family. Girlie, you cannot open these doors. And she began to tell me, she said, I have, and it's escalated to a point I don't even know what to do. And I said, that's what I was warning you about. The enemy will pursue you because he wants to keep that generational hold. Does that make sense? Now, don't get lost in the weeds on this stuff. Devil likes to say, oh, man, this is so complicated, just forget it's all. No, not at all. Demonic possession is when you surrender your will and you give yourself to the enemy. I think you can even be protected from that if people are praying for you. Because we can go way out in sin and do some hideous things and be some horrible places, but if we got a praying mother at home, it keeps us safe when we were ignorant. Anybody been there? Praying mother at home when we were ignorant. So it isn't just like, you have to really work hard to give yourself to the devil, but it can be done. And it becomes demon possession. And it's ultimate destruction. The man was scraping himself with stones and ripping his body to pieces and screaming in profanities. And Jesus said, what is your name? My name is Legion. For we are many. 1,000 demons within him. Yeah, craziness. Craziness. We've seen some of this. Never forget, I was in Kroger's one time and walking with the Lord and studying the Bible and asking God to make me a light to the world and asking God. I said, I will ask that everybody I wait on at the produce weigh scales, that they'll notice something different about me. I mean, I wanted to be saturated with the Spirit of God. That's how I was. I was living that way and I was praying. And I knew God was calling me to ministry and I thought, God said, son, before you get up and you go preach to anybody, you got to be nice to these customers and you got to pray for them and you got to work through some stuff. And I had my stuff, believe me, and it's a process. And he was patient. And it was 10 years to get worked through that stuff. From the time I'm talking to the end of it, it was 10 years working through that stuff. And I never will forget, the Spirit of God was on me. I could feel it. I could feel it. God doesn't play favorites, not because my last name's Robbins. No. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh unto you. Surrender your will. Close. You can be a light in your workplace. And I'd say, did they try my patience? Yes. Did I blow it sometimes? Oh, more than you want to know. I told you last week about shoving the guy up against the wall. You know, we didn't do everything right. But I was serious about it. And I never will forget, Brett, a little boy came in and just kept looking at me like this. Like, what's up with that, you know? You have a candy at the weigh scales, you know. I thought, maybe a few suckers here for the guy, you know. He walked up to me and hissed at me and spit on me. And I'm like, whoa. And when that little boy started toward me, I sensed the wall, the presence. I began rebuking the devil because I knew that that little boy had a demon within him. And I won't go into all that, but there's more to that story than that. But the devil recognizes the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you something here now. You don't want to enter into this next era we're moving into and not have the Spirit of God on you. I'm telling you, you don't want to move into this next era we're living in and not have the Spirit of God on you. And you got to clean it up and you got to get it straightened out. Only you and God know that. I'm not watching you. I ain't got time for it, nor do I want to do that. But you got to get this together in surrender. I don't mean together in perfection. I think we're probably going to mess up more as we get closer to the tribulation because the pressures are so strong. But keep going back and backing up. Keep correcting it. Keep going back to the cross and saying, Lord, I want your spirit. Take me to a higher level. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me and deliver me from it and lead me in a plain path. I didn't get very far on the story. Amazing to me that Paul had the discernment to know that this woman had a demon. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. Of course, they had messed with the economy here and the economics of this thing. They had messed up this guy's money-making deal. The city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. And they were severely beaten and thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. I don't want to hurry through this. They were arrested. You heard the story. I think it's on the wall. And it changes. You see where it changes there, I think, don't you? Okay. Thank you. They were severely beaten and they were thrown to prison, and the jailer ordered them to be in the inner dungeon and clamp in stocks. Okay, let's get the picture here. These guys, if I didn't eat too many donuts, I can do this. feet in stocks. This isn't the local county jail with the TV and the... We're in the inner dungeon, okay? You need to get this. They've been beaten. When your hand and feet are in stocks, that stretches your back. They've been beaten. We know it was severe beating because when the guys got saved, they washed the wounds. Anybody know? You're going to have some wounds for Jesus. Mike, some wounds for Jesus. We ain't ready. If somebody snickers that we go to church, we think we're persecuted. Hello, wake up call. If somebody snickers in the break room because we go to church, we think we're being persecuted. We're not ready, but we're going to get ready. Shake your head this way if you would. We're going to get ready. Yeah, we're going to get ready. Yeah, we're playing for keeps around here. Feet in stocks, back stretched. Can't quite get there, but we're going to cut back on the donuts and we'll get it. Back stretched, hand and feet in stocks. Next verse says at midnight. I'm convicted every time I read this. Anybody else? At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Patty, if you can sing at your midnight. How many's had a midnight? You're going to have midnight. Christian, you're going to have a midnight. Some of you in it right now. You're in your midnight. You're making changes you've never made before. You're more serious than you've ever been before. And the devil's badgering you harder than he ever has before. And you're in your midnight. But at midnight, they made a choice. You know, they weren't sitting there with their backs bleeding and their hand and feet in stocks and in the dungeon. And Silas said, hey, bud, you remember that old tune we used to sing? No. This was a choice. When I was in the hospital 14 years ago, which was nothing compared to this, I was faced with a choice. The Lord said to me, you're a called minister. Are you going to be that in here? And I said, Lord, I'm confined to the room for the first 31 days, and you got to wear a mask and gloves and gown to come in and see me. I'm not sure how we do this, but I'm open. And he said, buy 50 postcards. I said, Pam, will you go down and buy me 50 postcards? Some of you say you still have the cards on your refrigerator that God prompted me to send you during that time. That's little compared to these guys, but it is a choice. You can get mad and bitter at your midnight, or you can praise and thank God despite your circumstances. Yeah, you got a choice. At your midnight hour when it's the darkest, you can get mad and bitter and say, I ain't putting up this. This Christian business, they talk about joy of the Lord and all that stuff. Man, look at the mess I'm in. Devil constantly offers you the option of going the bitter route, the angry route. This is unfair. Don't tell me these weren't unfair circumstances. Appearing unfair to the human thinking. These guys have been preaching. They've been doing marvelous things. God had been using them tremendously, and they're in a dungeon sitting on the floor with their hands and feet in stocks and their backs bleeding. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. The guy that works next to you in the factory, he's not impressed that you go to church. He wants to see how you handle it when you get done wrong. The lights came on for me on that. Let me say that again. The man at the factory next to you isn't impressed that you go to church. He wants to see how you handle the pressure. I never will forget in the hospital. A guy came into my room that had been kind of distant over the years. He loved Pam and I, but he was kind of distant and not really serving the Lord as he should. And he had a lot to work through yet. And we were in there, and they said, "We're dying of leukemia." He came in. He said, "So how are you doing?" Get what he's saying? He's thinking, all right, I've heard this guy preach. I want to see how you're doing. And I would like to say to you, oh man, I was such a man of faith that I just... No. When they took me in there and told me I had a white count of 137,000 and I probably wouldn't live the night, it stunned me. It didn't really scare me. I'm ready to die. It just stunned me. I didn't see it coming. I usually have a little sense of things coming. I did not see that coming. And I remember, I said, "Lord, I want to be a man strong of faith, but I'm scared to death. All I've ever had stitches. They're putting a port in my heart and running two hoses out my heart, and they're going to run down and put me on a phreesis machine and put a port in the side of my neck." I'm like, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me." But I found out he'll meet you in your midnight, and he'll give you joy in your midnight, and you'll go to sleep humming it as well with my soul. I slept like a baby that night. I slept like a baby. And I truly can say, I was kind of pulled back and forth. Andre, there's a side of me kind of wanting to go to heaven. I thought, man, that'd be cool. Wouldn't that be cool? They said, "You may bleed to death in the night. We can't control it internally if you bleed. Your platelets are down to nothing." And I was bleeding through my skin anyway. But there was a side of me. I'm not being flippant. I'm not being... It's only by God's grace. Only by God's grace, amazing grace. But there was a side of me, Andre. I was thinking, man, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool? Everything I thought about and prayed about walking by the river, I wake up, there's Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? Man, that'd be great. But there's a side of me kind of wanted to see Braxton grow up, and that's the only grandchild we had then. Look, I'll give you more than you ask or thought. I got 9 grandkids now. Isn't that cool? You're going to have a midnight. And at your midnight, you got a decision to make. Now, don't sit here and beat you up and say, "That guy's right. That guy's right. I can tell you right. The way he carries on, he's got to be right." But I sure have blown all my midnights. That's the devil. Get back on. Get back on. Pam was kind of surprised that, well, maybe not. She's ridden horses with me a lot. But we was in Brown County 2 weeks ago, and Big Jake, 16 and a half hands, size of a thoroughbred, awesome horse. Cody's younger brother. He ain't Cody, but he'll do. He fell. He's getting older, and he had to have a shot the other day with some immunity problems. They said he'd be weak. He said, "Go ahead and take her. Be good for you. Take the horse, but just kind of go easy." Well, I hadn't even tested him yet. I was at the campground. He stepped on a soft spot, and down he went. Well, he's 16 and a half hands, and so starting down, first thing, I said, "Get my feet out of the stirrups, you know, because you want to do that." And I got my feet out of the stirrups, and he hit the ground. I jumped back out of the way, and he rolled, and he got a lot of leverage. He got long legs, and he kind of shook for a minute. And so I said, "Get up, buddy." Of course, everybody in the campground's looking, you know, we're entertaining them. So he jumped back up, and I immediately put my foot in the stirrup and got back on. Just get right back on. It's really that simple. That's just a corny horse example, but it's really that simple. Get back on. Put your foot in the stirrup and get back on. Put your foot in the stirrup, throw your leg over the saddle, and get back on and keep going up this road because it's worth it. He didn't say it'd be easy. He said it'd be worth it. And you're going to have some midnights, and you've probably blown some of them up till now, but he's going to give you another round at this because that's what he's good at doing. He's the God of second chances. Go for it. Do it. Chase the pearl. Get back on. At midnight, they made a decision. And suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. Oh, man. It gets God's attention. It gets God's attention. When you're in it, that challenges me. That challenges me. The problem is with me, Vince, is I'm all challenged and I want that, but I don't want to go to the dungeon to get it. That's true. He'll go with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Having a little fun with it. But we want to be in the center of God's will. For not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, and I'm the King of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken. Its foundations and doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. It has an effect on other people. If we can get a hold of this principle, last Sunday between songs when I made the statement about giving thanks, last Sunday during that time, God spoke to me that this was to be for this week. You need to take that statement you made and elaborate on it. That's what this message is about. Tell you a little story about Tuesday. Tuesday was just a horrible day. Emotionally, I was just trashed. I don't even always know why. I think it's because I'm Robbins. I'm not sure. And we got lots of issues. But Tuesday, I just emotionally trashed. I think part of it, too, was been dealing with the enemy on a lot of issues. And Tuesday, I was just emotionally trashed. Anybody have a day when you're just in despair? You're just trashed. I was just emotionally trashed. Not giving up on the Lord. Love the Lord more than I ever have. But it was just, I was just trashed that day. I just wasn't good company. Well, I was on my way to town because, I'll just tell you, I said to myself, son, this would be a good day to go pray with Mary Arnett or Nancy Arnett. Because when your own, let me tell you a principle here. When your own sky is cloudy, minister to somebody else. Don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Well, I was just emotionally trashed that day, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go in and pray with Nancy. Nancy's battling cancer. We love her dearly. God's laid her on her heart. I'm going to go and pray with her. This is a perfect day to go and pray. See, the devil say, this isn't the right day. You're not your best. No. When your own sky is cloudy, get your eyes off yourself and reach out to somebody else. I had a lady that was in terrible despair and going through horrible things in her home, and she lived across the road from a nursing home. I said, I challenge you to start this 3 evenings a week, take your kids and go over to the nursing home and visit those older people, and you see if God doesn't clear your sky and the sun come out. There's a principle there. Praise him in the storm. Praise him in the prison. You with me? Okay, so God spoke to me, so I went in, had a great prayer with Nancy. I'm on my way back. My truck breaks down. Might seem like a little thing to you, but all was lost that day. Anyway, and I was in despair. You ever had that where just one more thing? My truck broke down. My new cool truck broke down. Threw me over into another lane. Something broke in the front end. Almost hit somebody. Thankful I didn't. I was able to limp it in. Justin Jameson took care of it for me and Logan Tyre. That's another story. But anyway, so I'm in there. I can't get a hold of anybody to come pick me up. And I'm sitting in Logansport, and I'm thinking, I'll just walk home. I don't, it's all right. But then I thought, no, I got cowboy boots on. I walk in tennis shoes. I walk 9 miles, and I'm not going to have any calves in my legs left if I walk in these boots. Otherwise, I'd have walked home because I'm a walker, and I like to walk. I thought, well, I'll just pray and walk home. So I finally got a hold of Brian. Brian came pick me up. I get home, pull in the driveway. This is just nonsense stuff, but it's a normal day, okay? And as we pull in the driveway, the whole front fascia section on my house had blown off and was up on top of the roof flapping in the wind, which meant the rest of it was going to tear. You know, just one more thing. You know? So Brian leaves. I say, thank you, Brian. And I think, I got to fix that fascia because that's going to tear the rest of that loose. And that's just going to be more expense. And I thought, Lord, please help me. The last thing I want to do is mess with that fascia today. I just want to go to bed, cover up my head, and put a pillow on top of that, another pillow on top of that, and close the blinds. Anybody ever feel that way? Okay. So I go get the big ladder in the barn, I carry it, and I lean it up there. Now, this is a 12-foot piece, and I'm by myself. Okay. But I'm used to trying to do stuff, so I put on my nail bag, put screws down in here in my nail bag, got my tape measure here, got my stuff, stuck the screw gun with the heavy battery into the belt. Had to kind of suck in a little bit due to the donuts, but I got... I go up the ladder. I get up the ladder, I'm standing up under the eave, and I'm trying to hold this 12-foot piece, and the breeze is blowing it, and I'm trying to get a screw started. Okay, so I finally get this hooked on something, and I put my finger over here, and I'm leaning back on the ladder, and the screw gun come off and ran into my finger. Now, it's pretty well healed up now, and it doesn't look very bad to you, but it was deep, because it was turning when it went in. How pleasant. So I'm standing on the ladder, Pam's not there, my truck's broke down, I was in despair before we ever started. I'm up on the ladder, and blood is running down off of my elbow. I'm a bleeder, I always have been, before the leukemia ever came. And blood is running off of my elbow. And I looked up, and I said, Lord, this is really a hard day. I did. I stood on the ladder, and I said, Lord, this is a hard day. And Ray, as clear as anything, the Lord spoke to me. Stand on that ladder, and he said, son, you just told a congregation of new believers how to fight the devil and told them to all shout the hold the devil has on you. He ain't got no more, and the devil is out to take you down today. And I said, all right, we're going to sing. So we're going to bleed and sing at the same time. But the devil spoke, or the Lord spoke to me and said, you just told, if you were here last week, you remember that, you just told a congregation of new believers to shout, the hold the devil has on me, he ain't got no more. The devil is out to take you down. Praise the Lord anyway. And so we bled and sang, and I said, thank you for this house, and thank you for this beautiful soffit. And I got thinking back, standing on that ladder, bleeding Patty, about the fire, and when we lost it, and we got this new home, this is a nicer home than I ever dreamed I'd have. It's a mansion. It's the nicest place I've ever seen. And God just gave it to me with the insurance money. I didn't spend any extra. And then Andre came out and said, you need to put a fireplace in there. You need to put a fireplace in there. I said, oh, I can't do that. He said, yeah, you can. I'll help you. So he and I and Scott, we put in a fireplace. Man, it's the prettiest thing you ever saw. And then Mike Rao came over and we put a porch on the front of that. And it's the only porch bigger as Cracker Barrel. If you haven't been there, it's the prettiest porch you ever saw in your life. And I'm standing on that ladder bleeding with that stuff still laying up on the roof. And I'm saying, Lord, thank you for my beautiful home. Thank you for these horses. Thank you for... with a pastor that has a somewhat glorious but stressful life, what a beautiful, secluded place to live that you have given me. And you know what? I felt the devil vapor out of there. Poof! I felt him vapor out of there. This story's not crazy. There is power in willfully deciding in the middle of your midnight. Don't cash in your chips at the midnight hour. They made a decision. Like I said, I wasn't trying to be cute. They're not sitting in the dungeon with their hands and feet in stocks and bleeding in their backs and saying, hey, can you think of some tune? Let's play Name That Tune. No, that's not what's going on. It's a willful decision. I am going to give God praise and thanks despite my circumstances. And why am I so urgent about this? Because I see in you, I see in some of you, yes, that's what I said, I see in some of you the same thing I've let happen to me before. I've let it get to me. Get it back. Stand on the ladder. The blood will be okay for a little bit. And give him thanks. And suddenly you'll think, where did he go? Where did he go? And actually, the rest of that day turned out very well. And I went in to pick up my truck the next day, and that's just a little tiny thing, but I went in there the next day, and the girl said, I don't think he even charged you. He didn't leave me a bill or nothing. He wanted to fix that for you for some reason. He usually has the other guys do it. He wanted to fix that for you. You know, it all just worked out. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll add everything to you. I'll just take care. I know what you're worried about. I know what you're fussing about. We're entering a new season. We gotta come to here. We gotta recognize that these are perilous times and spirits are on the loose, and we gotta have a discernment that knows when the devil's the devil. Spirit of divination. We gotta be able to recognize it, we gotta be able to call it. We got to move forward in praise despite circumstances. We got to get a handle on this. And I'm going to close in just a second, but I am going to go to this last screen. Oh, you got to do that. I don't. What am I doing? I can look at it for myself, but you got to have it. You know, the last one. You might want to take a picture of that. Don't worry, I'm not going to go over all those. You're going to have lunch sometime. I just want to look at them, though. I'd encourage you to maybe use this for your devotion, since I didn't get any farther than I did, but I felt like God's thumb's in my back. I was supposed to talk about spirit of divination there and tie in the times we live. So I'm not apologizing for that. But that story is awesome. And this is good stuff. Insights into Paul and Silas's victory. They didn't get angry over seemingly unfair circumstances. You're going to have some seemingly unfair circumstances, I'm telling you. You're going to have it. Autumn and Andy, is that true? You're going to have some unfair circumstances that you think, how in the world are we getting this mess? How in the world, in serving the Lord and trying to be faithful and teach our kids Bible stories, how in the world did we get in this mess? Okay. He didn't get angry over seemingly unfair circumstances. He didn't question God and get lost in the why forest. Don't get lost in the why forest. If you get lost in the why forest, you will never get out. Why this, why that, why that? I'll tell you, I'm a pastor. It's not afraid to say, I don't know. Why did this happen? I don't know why that happened. Now, I can help you join hands with a Savior that'll walk you out of that valley. And now we see through a dark glass, but then face to face, and you'll come to the place in eternity where your eyes are open and everything will make sense and life's lived forward and understood backwards. But there's some things we just don't know the answer to. Don't get lost in the why forest. You get lost there, you will never get out. Man, I've been through things in the family. Why did that happen? Man, I thought, you know, I wasn't a perfect dad, but I thought I didn't think I did that bad. And why? Don't get lost in the why forest. You'll never get out. You'll go in circles forever. And the devil will laugh and have you tied up. They didn't question God's faithfulness. Now listen, or their own place in God. Here's something that happens. They didn't question God's faithfulness or their own place in God. It's easy to think, well, I'm not the Christian that I should be, or I wouldn't have this rough time. The devil not only wants you to question your relationship with God, he wants you to question your own place. I don't fit. I must not be the Christian these other people are. This wouldn't be happening to me. No, we're going to sing. We're going to make a decision, Paul said at midnight. We're going to sing. It broke open the jail. And I'm not going to go into all of it. I'll have you here too long. But we will preach on this again. I'm sure we will sometime. The praise and the thanksgiving decision was made. And God came through marvelously. But don't question, Brian said last week, if you be the Son of God, Matthew 4. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. If Debbie, you're the Christian that you should be, then why in the world are you having this struggle? If, we're going to have a lot of that in the future. Because the times are perilous. You're not going to have all A's all the time. You're not going to have all A's all the time. But get back on the horse. I'm riding this thing out. I'm going to heaven. Jesus is my Savior. I'm going to praise Him in the storm. If I bleed, I bleed, but I'm going to praise Him anyway. They offered praise and thanksgiving and worship in deep trial and unfair circumstances. Number 5, it pushes the devil out. I've actually covered all these points, but I said I just wanted you to see them. It uplifts you. It breaks the negativity and spirit of heaviness. Anybody got a spirit of heaviness in their workplace? Just a cloud over the workplace? Yeah. God can break that. God can break that. Break the negativity and spirit of heaviness. It unleashes the power of God. There was an earthquake. Everybody's chains came off. It affects our surroundings powerfully. And the last point that I'll say something about and then I'm done, it brings salvation. Can you believe, as you're reading that story, and I encourage you to read it this week since I'm not finishing it, when the chains came off of everybody and the doors all flew open and there was an earthquake and the power of God came through because of their decision at midnight to praise, the jailer came in and said, "What must I do to be saved?" I remember being up at the deli at Kroger's one time, and a girl that had been real inappropriate with everybody and everything was now going through an ugly divorce and in pain. And she had seen me show Pam's picture, because I had a picture of Pam at Glamour Shots, and boy, it was a picture. And that's kind of how I do that. You know, God can give you ideas. Those girls were inappropriate. And I'd say, hey, you want to see a pretty girl? Let me show you this. Who's that? My wife. Man. But God will use those things in your life. God will push the enemy back. And that girl that had been so inappropriate came up with tears running down her face. And she said, could I talk to you sometime? I said, sure. Different approach than before. I said, think, okay, how do I handle this appropriately? I said, what time do you get off? I said, I got to work to 5. She said, well, I get off about 5:30. I said, well, I'll just wait outside. We need to talk out in front of the store there. I thought, that's a public place. We'll talk out there. But yet you can have some privacy off to the side where the planters were at the old store. You know what her first question was? She said, I've been watching you. What's your secret? She said, I've been watching you. What's your secret? What must I do to be saved? Yeah, we make fun. And Mr. Goody Two-Shoes had to leave the break room because he doesn't like a dirty joke. Well, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. I'm sorry. And I'll buy your coffee next time and buy you a donut too, but I'm not staying because I'm leaving. Okay? And I'm not going to apologize for that. You can call me anything you want to. That's fine. But guess who they asked for prayer? And I'm not saying this boastfully, but when I left Kroger's, the manager came to me and he said, you were the guidance counselor here but never paid for it. Now, I don't mean that boastfully. Any guidance I gave was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it was through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But that girl asked me, what's your secret? What is it? Life seems to be working for you. What is the secret? The jailer came and said, I surrender. You know, so to speak. Look at God's response to you. Look at God's response to you. It's an incredible story. I'd encourage you in your devotional life, if you're dried up on that a little bit, and that can happen. Don't let that throw you. You're like, where do I read and whatever? Go to this story. There's incredible. You notice the first thing I had up on the board was, Ray will go back to it, is a powerful, powerful story with life-changing principles in it. There's life-changing principles. This is good stuff. I know got shook this morning and shouted loud enough they could hear me at the churches in Peru. But this goes deep. This goes deep with me. You can see that. It goes real deep with me. And you know, if I look out and see your little girl run out from a car, I'm not going to say, be careful. Am I? No. I'm going to say, watch out! A watchman is to be on the corner of the city, and that's the minister. And when he sees the enemy coming, he's to herald the warning. And it says if he doesn't, that their blood's on his hands. I take that serious. I always have. That challenged me as a young man. I would read that and think, Lord, don't let me drop the ball. Don't let me be too scared to tell the truth. Don't let me be worried I'm going to make somebody mad. Help me to tell the truth. Now, it needs to be done appropriately and not brashly and not out of tainted motive. That's huge. Can't be out of tainted motive. I've seen pastors get up and grind an axe and everybody's mad at them. They figure out a way to talk about it. No. If motive's tainted, that's no good. You need spanked. That's off. But when the passion is there for God, there's times when you need to herald the warning and say, I see the enemy coming, and you're not ready. You're not ready. You don't even have your guns loaded. You're not ready. We want to be ready. All right, let's stand for prayer.